You're listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast on KSVG 89.7 FM.
Savage Radio, City of License, Mettler, California.
Please read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny thing.
Hello and welcome again to another episode of the Sofa King Podcast, and this is the radio edition.
Yes,
I believe so. I won't say any bad words, Brent.
Oh, I need to start our timer. We got new technology, so we got
all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
we got multiple screens. We got fandangled cables everywhere. I don't even know what's going on anymore.
There's like five computers in here. There's four computers in here.
Yeah, and then Dave's brain is a computer. So,
right. It's very.
Today, like a... today on the radio edition of the Sofa King Podcast, we're talking about politics.
Yes.
And we actually have a guest with us today. You want to introduce our guest, Brent?
Go ahead and introduce yourself. I know you probably talk about you better than I'm going to.
All right, what's going on, guys? My name is Jason Roskam. I'm originally a Bakersfield native. I live in New Jersey now. I'm a member of the United States Air Force. I've been in since 1996. I'm actually coming up on my 20-year mark here this next February. And I do a couple of podcasts. I do Project VCR, which Brent was just on our last episode. We go back, we talk about old movies, give them kind of a retro score. And I also do, for the super nerds, I do a Magic the Gathering podcast called Higher Standards.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can find both of those on iTunes. And
I forgot you guys play Magic. You guys actually have that in common.
Well, I don't play anymore. So
I used to play back in the day. No, I've actually started playing again recently.
Oh, that's right. You did, huh?
I've gotten
with Mondo
back in. Yeah, I introduced it to a friend of mine who's now addicted and goes and
Mondo,
does Friday night magics every night and is hardcore.
So now
he drags me out.
A divorce over financial strain. Yeah. He's talking about $500 decks yesterday.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
That's just the low end, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a cheap deck.
Yeah.
Like, that's nothing.
Yikes.
My buddy's getting, I guess if you're not familiar about it, now we're getting into the super nerd, the new Full Art Lands all foil, the full set,
that's
which
expensive.
Is a pretty penny.
So. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You were in a tournament yesterday, yeah?
I was, yeah. It was about a 100-person tournament. I came in 25th overall.
That's good. That sounds good.
Yeah.
I basically won my entry fee.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I still don't. I don't have the stones to do a tournament.
Yeah, I did like Star City Opens and stuff, but, you know, they're...
Oh, nice.
Dave, you just don't think you could take that kind of rejection?
I just don't want to spend the money on. I just don't want to spend the money on a deck.
My biggest thing is I hate sitting across the table from the other guy who's just the biggest snob in the world.
Yeah,
like he's usually like,
yeah,
judge. He's taking too long to take his turn, and I'm like, dude, I will Superman punch you over this table and tear all your cards in half, and then pee on you. I'm just not with your game.
I didn't know there was such a thing as a Superman punch.
You didn't?
That's awesome.
Superman punch. And speaking
of
Superman,
you're the type of guy that'll flip the table when you lose, right?
Yeah.
No. I'm cool with losing. Like I don't like when people annoy me. Like that's the biggest anger button. Speaking of Superman punches, I know you guys don't watch the UFC, and we normally don't talk about UFC, but Ronda Rousey was knocked out cold Saturday.
So. Oh, I didn't see the cold knockout. I just saw the highlight, but they actually didn't show that.
She got kicked in the neck.
Wow.
Just laid her out. So
yeah, and then she got punched in the face freely about three or four times.
Yeah, before they finally it's pretty good. That the Holly Holm, the girl or beater, she had some mean striking and kicking. She was pretty fierce on the strikes and kicks.
So. I saw the highlights, and there was part where Ronda tried to punch her, and she ducked it and was behind her, and Ronda was still facing the wrong way, like trying to punch her. It was insane.
Well, she pretty much just like grabbed her head, threw her down. And made her turn around backwards, then grabbed her, spun her around, and kicked her in the neck. Like, it was pretty much full control.
Wow.
And,
I think what happened is, there's just the female game hasn't been recognized yet in UFC. And what's happened is Ronda was, like, the one that stepped up.
Well, and she probably didn't even think she had to, like, train because, like, the last three matches she had were, like, 64 seconds in length. So it's like, well, why am I even going to train? I don't need to. I can just go in there and fight. But when you get somebody who's really good at stand up and striking and kicking, you're going to have an issue if you can't, you know what I mean? If you're not as good. So, because it wasn't a ground game. It was all punches and kicks and pretty rough.
So politics, we should probably talk about that.
We kind of have
speaking
been
of punches and kicks. Yeah,
punches and kicks and chokeouts. We wanted to spend some time talking politics, and we didn't so much want to focus on the current election as much as talk about sort of political apparatus that exist in America, the way our politics works.
Yeah, because is this political election really going to be anything special? Like, it's like, it is horrible candidates across the board, I feel.
I want to let you guys know that this man right here is a Trump fan through and through. So you're allowed to talk about it because I know it'll be good content, sir.
No, I go ahead, Jason.
I like his unapologetic approach to the way he presents himself. That's really what attracts me to him. I don't say I agree with a lot of his potential policies, but I just like him as a person. I think he's entertaining, which is what a lot of politics is now.
Yeah. No, that's definitely true. I mean,
it's a reality show. It's the real world.
When Schwarzenegger ran for governor in California, I was a pretty open Schwarzenegger supporter, and people would say, what are his politics? And I would say, that's the stupidest question anyone has ever asked me. Like, I'm not voting for him because of his politics. I'm voting for him because I'll be back, you know, get to the chopper. That's why I'm voting for him, not because of his stance on illegal immigration.
Yeah, so I voted once, and it was for Schwarzenegger, and after that, I've never voted again. I mean, just, I'm gonna
admit that's exactly my story. I actually showed up to the poll, voted for Schwarzenegger, and I've never voted again.
Yeah.
Actually, I take that, but I have voted one more time since Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it was so I could vote for Roseanne Barr for president.
You really did it? Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes.
So how about you? So I'm assuming you vote, Jason.
Yeah, mostly just in the presidential elections. Mm-hmm. I voted for Clinton. He was the first vote I ever cast after I turned 18. And that was in, 96. And voted for Gore. That didn't quite work out so well. I've traditionally been a Democratic voter, but I've changed a bit over the years. The last presidential election, I actually voted for Gary Johnson, which a lot of people don't even know who he is. He was running for the Libertarian Party at the time.
Oh, wow. And Mike Money on Twitter, he's running a campaign for me. It's Brad 2016. I don't know if you guys seen it. I sent Brent a text.
I did not see that.
Oh, no. I sent you a text. Yeah, running his campaign for me.
I wanted to be the famous one, and you got a presidential elect.
Well, we had some readers chime in on Facebook this week talking about politics, and one of them actually talked specifically about the election portion, the campaign, and it was Magdalena Barton, and she said, I think the worst thing about politics is all the mudslinging that the people do and how they say they were going to accomplish this, and then when they get into the office, they never do. And I think that's a pretty common sentiment. I mean, two sort of things she brings up there. One is the constant mudslinging in politics, and then two is making all these promises, none of which come true. What do you guys think about those two issues?
Well, I ask people a lot of times, how would our lives be any different right now? Say Romney had won the last election. Mm-hmm. Would things be any different right now? Or even McCain, the election before that?
Probably
how
not.
Different would our lives really be day to day?
Probably not. It'd probably be the same things going on. They'd get pressured into working the same scenarios that Obama's working. Exactly. So
pretty much. I mean, if McCain had won, my life would be different because I would have moved out of the country to get away from what's her ass,
war.
From Alaska.
Future President Palin?
Yes, that's I would have left to avoid Palin having any close relationship to the nuclear suitcase. But other than that, nothing would have been different. Because, I mean, I think ultimately people assume the president has a lot more power than the president actually has. I think people assume the president can get into office and write all these laws and make all these changes. And I mean, as far as I can tell, when a president gets into office, they kind of get one coupon that they can cash. And it's like, this is the one thing I'm going to do. And like Obama did the medical care. And it's like, that was his one coupon he got to cash.
Man,
and anything else he wants to do, he's not going to be able to do. And I think that tends to be the case with most presidencies. You kind of get one thing to do, you know.
Yeah, and that seems to be Bush got the war.
Yep.
And then what'd Clinton do? Blow job?
Yeah.
That's all he did.
That's all I remember.
Well, technically
good vote, Jason.
I think he cashed in his coupon by being like ousted from the presidency and then just saying, nah, I'm gonna stick around.
Yeah,
that's kind of, you know, you're impeached. Nah, not so much.
Nah,
see you on Monday.
I saw a really funny comedian who he talks about that. He thinks that when the president gets elected, they sit him down in a room and all the former presidents are sitting there and they just watch the JFK video. And then they say, any questions?
It's just like, you'll get your melon popped if just you don't do it.
Mind your manners. You. Yeah.
That's funny. So what do we got statistics wise for anything? Are we looking at stats or are we looking at anything interesting?
One stat came up and it was from another listener remark, and it was a remark I wasn't really expecting. And I want to see what you guys think.
Was it something intelligent?
Andrew Stevens. I know. Yes. I was like,
Andrew Stevens chimed in and he said, I believe that we need to get back to a system of voting rights. This nation used to be decided by individuals that had a stake in the country's future. As described in the article attached below, and it's on the website if you go and find the comments, an American would have had to own land in the United States to be able to vote. If we went back to this way of voting, I believe that we would be better represented to our nation. The thought that I, a property-owning working individual, has the same voting rights as an individual who is living in Section 8 housing, collects food stamps, and has their medical paid for by the government is mind-blowing. Why would an individual receive so many different government handouts have the right to vote? And then he says a bunch more, and then at the end he says, my closing thought is, if our country is so vast and powerful, why would 2/3 of our nation's spending be on Medicare and Social Security? A nation that would truly want to help its people would say no to Social Security and no to Medicare.
Wow. I think that's a problem. Like, for one, I don't own land. I couldn't vote. You know what I mean? And I consider myself probably a more educated people than
But you own a business and you pay taxes.
But I wouldn't be able to vote based off that because I'm not a landowner. Go for it.
I was going to say, you're kind of getting back to Jim Crow laws at that point.
That's what's
down that path.
That's what's, but the other thing, I replied to him in brief, but the thing that I said is, according to what people say, I'm a homeowner. Right. I don't rent.
Yeah. The bank owns the home.
I'm not a homeowner. Exactly. Yeah. The bank owns the house. If that's the case, if only the people who own houses get to vote, only banks and like the rich or people who are old enough to have been in a house for 35 years to finally pay their mortgage. Yeah. That's going to be the smallest sliver of people.
Yeah. You somehow got enough money to pay cash for something.
That's just not going to happen. Everyone who's a homeowner doesn't own their home. You know,
yes.
I mean, the bank owns the home.
Well, and that's kind of privilege. I agree on a certain scale because I think that people who are, and I'm not saying that this is kind of a blanket statement and it might sound bad, but people who are lower in income or who have no stake in any type of politics don't really follow politics. They don't understand politics. And frankly, there are a lot of stupid people who can't take care of themselves who probably shouldn't be voting. But on the other end, if it's not an equal stake, if everybody doesn't get their say, it's kind of a pointless system.
Absolutely.
Know? So
no, everybody needs to. And I mean, the fact of the matter is, I know a lot of the poorest people, regardless of ethnicity, don't vote because they see an entire system stacked against them.
Yeah,
like everything they ever try to do gets shot down politically. Why would they think that them going and then there's states that try to discriminate and make it harder for people to vote. I mean, there's all kinds of things. But the other issue that I had with the comment was, I think it also, I mean, there are a lot of people who are perfectly, you know, capable, intelligent, you know, participate in society, et cetera. And even if he's specifically saying Section 8 housing, like what if you're a disabled vet?
Yeah.
Like what if you're a vet and you got injured, you can't work, and you have Section 8 housing and you're living on government assistance? Well, so you're now going to say, since he's not a homeowner and he's in Section 8 housing. Well, and
there's two sides of every story. It's the same thing of like the abortion debate that everybody loves to have. You know, should abortions be legal or should they be, you know, pro-life, pro-choice? Well, a guy at my work came to me the other day and we were talking about it, and he said, well, you know, the abortions, you shouldn't be able to have abortions, and I can't believe people do that. And I said, I'm pro-choice. And he went, really? And I said, yeah. I said, Mark, what if your daughter gets raped and she's impregnated by her rapist? Shouldn't she have the right to choose whether or not she should have an abortion? That's up to her, not to me.
Right.
And he's like, whoa, you know, and I mean, it's hard to think about, you know. So there is two sides to every story. Yeah. If you see it as being wrong, okay, that's your belief. You know what I mean? But people who want choice and want freedom have to understand that we as a person have to think of both sides if you want freedom. You know what I mean? Like if you take away that decision from somebody, whether it be voting, whether it be abortion, whether it be the right to choose if you want vaccinations or not, those are all things that are our right as people to have.
My problem that I have with it is like the effort it takes to be politically informed to not make an improper decision due to lack of knowledge. Like I might have the whole story. They might be trying to pass an agricultural bill that has something to do with something, but on page 783, they snuck some weird thing in there that I'm saying yes to. And there's no way you're going to read
that.
They don't read that. Yeah.
That's exactly
what they
do.
They all agree to vote one way. And so that's a problem that I have. The other problem that I have, and I am a conspiracy theorist, but I just don't feel like my vote counts. Like, I feel like if I went and voted, it wouldn't matter. Even if my vote did count with the electoral college system, I feel like my vote doesn't count. So even if I'm not talking about the vote being hacked and it being set one way or another, Jason's got something up.
Yeah, no, because talking about the electoral college, there are scenarios where you can get into where the person that wins the popular vote doesn't win the election.
Right.
And that's really disheartening at times.
Well, that's twice now with Obama. I mean, that his first election, he didn't win the popular vote. He was chosen by the Electoral College.
Same thing with you voted for Gore, and Gore won the popular vote, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, Gore won the popular vote, but not the electoral. It's happened, apparently 7% of all presidential elections have been, the popular vote voted one way and the Electoral College voted a different way.
Yeah, and I think that's the bigger people deciding, oh, well, you know, they don't really know what they want. We need this, you know.
Right. And a lot of the times it boils down to three key states. And those three states, what is it? Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Florida are always the ones that decide every presidential election.
And
which
Florida,
is ridiculous.
Florida, I mean, half of them are retarded there.
Yeah, I got nothing.
I mean,
for Florida.
What's in Pennsylvania? Nothing. Ohio.
Vampires, right?
Yeah.
That's Pennsylvania.
Ohio. I hear nothing but bad about Ohio, so nobody wants to go there.
I read something called the plurality rule, and it's like the whole majority rules thing. And there's some weird mathematical anomalies that can happen, even though when you think you have the best of intention. The example they gave is if there's four candidates running, and we call them A, B, C, and D. If candidate A gets 20%, B gets 30%, C gets 25%, and D gets 25%, B wins at 30%. Even though 70% of the people voted not for that person. So there's some weird anomalies that can happen when you're trying to come up with some type of solution like that. And I think it's just, if we're not getting the vote hacked, if there's not some conspiracy that they've already groomed these candidates out of college and chosen who's going to do what, and they're controlled by some type of corporate influence, then the system of the majority rules is going to mess it up somehow, or the fact that we have the electoral college system is somehow going to be skewed and three states get to pick. I just feel like the only way I could do it is like shop with my dollar or stand in the intersection with an AK-47 and start a revolution.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's what they're afraid of. That's why they're trying to take away our guns. That's why they're trying to dumb people down. You know, all these things that are happening in the world, they're trying to separate blacks and whites. You know, they're colorizing everything. And I think that it's inevitable that there's some sort of civil war or some sort of uprising. There has to be.
Got an eyebrow raise out of Jason over there.
Yeah, I don't know about all that, but I do agree with the fact that the politicians are purposefully dividing us as a country.
Yeah.
They're playing this whole us versus them. Oh, they're trying to take this from us. They're trying to do this from us. And it seems like it's getting more out of control now than it ever was before.
Yeah.
Where they're just playing these strict partisan politics. And you're seeing it even on a scale where moderates, like moderate Republicans, are getting ousted left and right because people want to see more far right politicians, yeah, like this Tea Party and everything else.
Yeah.
And I think just further dividing the country.
And I mean, the Tea Party brings up to me, which is another interesting notion, which is the fact that because of the Electoral College, we're pretty much locked into two parties, period, ever only. I mean, a third party is never going to win, because if a third party could ever win or be its own viable entity, the Tea Party would be its own party. But they have to be part of the same party, because if they split off, they would be the third party odd dog that would never get any. So it's like, even the way it is right now, we kind of do have three parties. It's just that these two have to act like they're the same party. But as soon as you get one side of a party radicalized, they have to suck it up and still be in the middle, because that's all you can do.
Well, it's stupid. I mean, Jason, we were talking about you liking Trump. I like how he's the balls out, you know, I'm just going to say what I want to say. No need to be politically correct. Sorry if you don't like it, person. His policies, like you said, some of them I don't agree with. Some of them I do. Some of them are just far out there just to get a rise out of people, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the same way. If you look at it, and what scares me about him is that, you know, a few years ago, or maybe even last year, he was a Democrat. All his stuff. I mean, you know, he's supported Hillary. He's done all these things with Democrats and helped them out. And now all of a sudden he's playing the Republican side.
It's a strategy.
Yeah, it's strategy.
No, it's the ultimate.
But it's
the ultimate
something
strategy.
And that's exactly what you're talking about, though, is that you have to play into some party of some sort.
Right.
Which is stupid.
Well, I like him too, but I like him like I like Jimmy Fallon. He's hilarious. Like, it's just fun to watch.
I mean, his hair waving in the wind.
His hair. Hilarious. Conan pulled on his hair. I don't understand what kind of crazy comb over plugs thing is happening.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
He has
with
a million
hair.
Dollar weave that you can't like decipher. I don't know what's happening.
It's like Lego hair. Like
it's like a storm of hair. It's so weird.
And if we are talking about Trump, I do need to say that anyone who hasn't seen it needs to get on the YouTubes and watch the video Donald Trump Says Canada.
Oh, I haven't seen China. I saw China.
I'm sorry. China.
Oh.
You have to watch
China.
It. China. Have you seen it, Jason?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Just FYI, it's out there.
Hilarious.
I have a feeling on the wall that we can't see there's Trump posters or something above your computer. We just can't see him.
All right. We'll go ahead and we'll stop there and we'll go ahead and take another break. Or actually, it's our first break.
First break.
I don't even know what I'm doing. You're listening to the Sofa King Podcast Radio Edition, and we will be right back. Welcome back to the Sofa King Podcast Radio Edition, and we're here today talking about politics. Most people think that they're boring and only old people follow them. That may be true, but we're here to make it more entertaining. So we have with us guest Jason Roskam, who is actually in New Jersey, right? Is that correct?
I am.
Okay, yep. And he is an Air Force person
specialist
of the Air Force.
Top secret.
Yep, he's a Navy SEAL Marine. And
Green Beret. Yeah.
Yep.
And Navy SEAL Marine Green Beret.
Army deep diver.
Yeah. Air Force is the boats guy, right?
You're on
the
boats.
That's what?
In a boat?
Yeah. Yeah.
You put out fires,
it's
correct?
Like Top Gun. That's like Tom Cruise. Same thing. No.
We're trying to confuse people here, so they don't know.
So Dave was talking about something about people, about the third party not working out. It always falls back to Republican or Democrat. And there's something called Diverger's Law. And the reason that happens is if you're...
Brent, what's Diverger's Law?
I will tell you.
Oh, okay.
If you're let's say you're a Democrat and you feel like the main, you know, center Democrat candidate is weak on some stuff, and you want a more extreme person that's further to one side.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem that happens is that third party is not going to win. They never win. The people more in the middle, because the society and everyone generally votes for those people that are more well-rounded, not so extreme. And so if you know that if you try to vote for your Democrat extremist that's really strong on the points that you believe in, your vote is going to get taken away from the other candidate on the Democratic side that's like-minded, and the Republican will actually get another vote. So you have to just you can't beat them, join them, and go ahead and vote for the main candidate in the Democratic Party, because you're just throwing your vote away on the third party, unless you think everybody else is going
to
do it.
So basically vote for the person that you don't want to win.
Well, you have to vote for the most like-minded, because your extremist is not going to win.
Okay.
So they end up getting those votes.
A lot of people are kind of talking about that as a continual problem for the Republican Party right now, because the Tea Party is always getting these, like, they always want the Tea Party stuff. So they're voting for a lot of Tea Party people instead of the more moderate people, which is continually sort of undermining the Republican Party, because it's kind of acting like two parties. So a lot of votes are being thrown, especially on like local elections or senatorial elections or something. A lot of people who aren't Republicans are like, truly Republicans, but the more radical, you know, Tea Party people are getting elected instead, and it's not really helping the Republican
Party. Well, I guess
Party.
It's a possibility that at some point, maybe your Tea Party group could win. You want to hope that, like, if you're in that party, that you feel like, oh, we have enough steam to push through,
right,
and we might actually edge that person out. It's just statistically and historically, it just doesn't happen, though.
Yeah.
So they end up just voting for the other party. So I was going to say, too, about voting and how that gets decided. Like, most people's parents influence what their, you know, political outcome is going to be. A lot
Same
of people adopt
religion.
That.
Yeah.
90% of voters will vote their party regardless.
Yep.
Is something that I read. Yep. So that's going to happen unless someone just really stand out, has some other type of ideology or characteristics or ethnicity or race can take, you know, change something or skew something.
I think there's a misconception, too, because when I was growing up and I was a, high school, early 20s person, you know, I always thought that, you know, you say conservative, and I think there's a misconception with young people on what actually Democrats and Republicans are. You know, you think like, oh, the Democrats are the more loose people, the more, you know, this or that, and Republicans are the tight-lipped, you know, just like, you know, the person you don't want to be when you grow up. So I think that a Republican Party is kind of put off, you know, the kids are kind of put off by them. And I think that it creates an issue with the voting, in a sense, with younger people, because they don't really understand the true policies and what everything is. So I don't know if you guys felt that way when you were younger, but I was really confused, because now I used to think that, oh, I'm a Democrat, I'm going to vote Democrat, and I like Democrats. And then as I got older, I was like, oh, man.
Then
like,
you realize you're just voting for Schwarzenegger and nothing else.
Yeah, and I'm like, man, I am not a Democrat at all.
Yeah, and it's like when I was talking about how I voted for Clinton back in, what was it, 96, when I was 18 years old. Mm-hmm. I barely knew anything about his policies. He was just a charismatic guy compared to, who was it, Bob Dole or whoever he was running against at the time.
Bob Dole fell off the stage and Clinton plays sax.
You stayed up late and watched him on Arsenio Hall, and you were sprung by Clinton.
Yep. Taking tokes with him, just like watching YouTube videos.
Yeah, and they say the same thing about Obama when he was elected. Almost 8 years ago, it was young people liked him because he seemed young, charismatic, he was different, but they barely knew anything about his politics.
Yeah. Right. Or who he was or where he came from or anything. I mean, nobody knew anything.
He just seemed like another option that didn't usually exist. Well, you know what I mean? Like, it's something new.
He was strong. Like, that's why Trump's getting a lot of motion behind him, because he just goes out there and he just goes at it, you know? And Obama was the same way. He just said what he... It was empowering. You know what I mean? He empowered the people, and that's where you got a majority of people lifted about him. And I think even Republicans were like, oh, wow, like this guy's like, he's, you know, just charismatic, and
he's one of the best speakers I have ever seen.
Yeah, he is very
good. He is so good at the art of rhetoric and at speaking and presenting himself. And compared with Bush, who always looked like a drunk watermelon when he was on stage.
A drunk?
It was just, I mean, and then all of it, I mean, he would just get on there and stammer and go and do nothing. And it was like, it was just 8 years of atrocious sound bites. And then Obama shows up and he's just like this.
How
like,
stupid, smooth. How stupid are we? 8 years of Bush. Yeah. Though? I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Like,
did you guys hear what
he played the game well? That's why.
Yeah, he did. He played the game
especially in 2004. He used that whole terrorist 9/11 stuff. Mm-hmm. He took it as far as he could to get reelected.
He did.
Did you guys see what Trump said about ISIS? This is what I just saw this quote. He was like, well, he said a couple things. Like, he's so forward. He just doesn't care. Like, he said Paris wouldn't have happened if those guys all had guns.
Yeah.
Like, he just doesn't care.
Yeah.
But he said, you know how you fix ISIS? He's like, they have some oil camps. He's like, we know where those camps are. He's like, I'll just go over there and blow them all up. Yeah. I'll bomb the camp. I'll bomb the oil fields. I'll bomb the pipes. I'll blow it all up. Yeah. And then I'll just send Exxon in. We'll take the oil. We'll build new facilities. Yeah. They can do it in a month. And I'll just keep the oil.
And then the U.S. has oil and our prices go up and people can work.
Yeah. And you bring up a great point, Brent. We just had this horrific attack happen in Paris, and within an hour, all of these Republican presidential candidates were chiming in on Twitter or wherever and making some sort of political comments on what happened.
Yeah, you have to.
Thing or terrorism or something like that. Yeah. So people were already politicizing this thing as they were still picking up the bodies from the
ground. Absolutely. Yeah. They were. Yeah.
Because if you don't, you're the one that didn't make the statement. It's the same thing with the mudslinging that you guys talked about earlier. Like, if you don't, you're just going to sit there and take it in the face while the other guy's going to do it. Like,
right. Well, I saw a lot of stuff about, you know, I hope America, because I have some gaming friends that are overseas and stuff, and they're saying, well, I hope America, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then most people are like, nope, Obama has no balls. Like, we're not doing nothing. You know, like, and it's sad to hear, you know, that all these things can happen and we're just standing by. And it is all politics, though, this whole terrorism thing. Like, how many, there are a few hundred thousand people, go kill them. Like, it's not that difficult. We're wasting money, wasting time, wasting efforts doing stupid stuff when we can just go take care of the business and fix the problem.
Without getting yourself in trouble, Jason, being in the military and seeing what actions are taking place, like from a political standpoint, like what is the general mindset of people in the military?
Well, in the military, we basically, I know this is kind of cliche to say, but we just do what we're told.
Right.
Honestly, our orders come from
Nazis, basically
generals
Nazis
and colonels.
and you have to.
It's, just gas them.
And that's how we're brought up into the system from day one, where we're told to follow orders of those appointed above you. And there are a lot of people that typically, most people in the military, I will say, do lean towards the right, do lean towards the whole Republican side. And a lot of them do kind of go pro-war when wars start to brew up that are, you know,
they probably almost have to live with themselves, right? I mean, you can do your job and grumble through it. But, I mean, I'm sure your superiors see the dissension among the ranks and, like, you know, it's bad for morale. I'm sure they put a stop to that pretty quick.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, if you voiced your opinion in the military politically about your side or belief and if it opposed it, what is the action that your supervisor would take?
Well, honestly, they say you're not even supposed to, for the most part. You're not supposed to talk publicly about your own personal politics. So
if you're off duty or something, though, like you're not on the clock, technically.
If you're off duty, not representing the military.
Right.
You can do some things, but you can't like go to a Republican convention dressed in your uniform.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's because they don't want it to seem like the military is.
Well, you're representing. Yeah. You're representing if you're in the Air Force, you're representing the Air Force at that particular event. And people would see that as, oh, the Air Force is supporting here, you know? So, yeah. And I can see that. But I would think, too, that if you join the military, you are more pro-gun. You know what I mean? You're more, you know, stand up for your rights, you know, the Constitution, all that stuff. So I could see them leaning more towards the right. I mean, you would think that, you know.
Yeah, what was your motivation like when you'd made the decision, you know what I mean, to go to the military? Like, did you go to college first? I don't remember.
I went to BC for one semester, barely went to class, was a lot more concerned with hanging out with my friends and chasing girls. Mm-hmm. So that didn't last very long, and I joined the Air Force right after that first semester of college.
Oh, wow.
Do you think it was just the enforced structure because you knew it would make you do what you needed to do and you weren't going to do it on your own?
Yeah, pretty much. Because I knew if I didn't, I was probably going to be living with my parents for another 5 years and never going anywhere, doing anything with my life.
That's so, a good decision.
It was the direction I needed at that time.
Yeah, right. just get crazy for 30 seconds and sign that paper.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
And now you're almost 20 years in. That's crazy.
He probably had a bad English teacher like the first semester or something at BC.
I don't know. Were you there back in 96?
I was not. That was before my time.
Dave's How old were you in 96, Dave?
Three.
I don't know. I can't tell you how old I am right
Math.
Now.
Math. It's two.
It was three, I think.
I was teaching at Cal State in 96.
Oh, wow. Oh, you know what? I was going to ask you. We talked about Jade Helm a couple times here, and people were freaking out about it. And one of the things we touched on was, since you're military, just to ask you this, one of the things that we touched on was if the military, you know, people in the military would actually turn against the population, what type of stand? I understand, like, if civilians are going and attacking places and doing crazy stuff and bombing and stuff, like, obviously you're going to have to take some sort of force towards them. But how would the military react to just the general population in an event that, that, you know, kind of a takeover type of thing that these conspiracy theorists were trying to amp up to?
Well, there's, you know how I mentioned before that we're told to obey the orders of those appointed above us.
Yeah,
there are exceptions to the rule that we're specifically trained on. And when you're told to do something unlawful or something that you know is morally wrong, you do have the obligation to then say, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
As far as like killing prisoners or civilians or anything like that, that's a no-no. And we're told, don't do it. Disobey your direct order if you know something is implicitly wrong like that.
Right.
And I think that the Jade Helm, the whole occupying our own country, would kind of fall underneath that. You'd get a lot of dissenting voices for sure.
Yeah. That was my thought, though. I mean, I thought if I was in the military, whatever branch, and somebody's like, "Hey, we're taking over, and this is what you're going to go do," I'm like, you know, like that.
I think a lot of guys, it would be difficult, though. Yeah. There's a lot of pressure from your peers, probably in other military, because a lot of the guys are going to do what they're supposed to do and follow orders. Not a lot of people stop and question things. You know what I mean?
True.
They're going to be like, "We're doing this because I'm what I'm told to do." You know, I think that the one guy, it's going to put a lot of pressure on someone like Jason, who stops to try to make a moral decision, and the 10 other guys in his crew are like, "What are you doing?" You
know, maybe.
How do you think you would stand against that if the rest of your crew was like, "Dude," and you have to make this Denzel Washington stand?
It would depend on the situation. It's, you know, we're talking in real generalities here.
Right.
It's what would they be telling me to do? If they're telling me to go kill that guy that's standing over there because he believes in something that we don't believe in, of course I'm not going to do it. I would never do that in a million years. And if that means you kill me to make a point, then go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's what's up.
That is
respect, Jason.
That got real. That got like, let's get quiet real for a second.
I mean, that's how it is, though. I mean, you know, you have to stand up for what you believe in, or else you're just living a lie. So, but
that's a Toby Keith song. I'm pretty sure. It? Yeah, it's a Toby Keith song.
And you stand up for what you believe in.
Brad officially
living a lie.
You guys sang on the radio officially. It's official.
It's my song. You owe me royalties.
First album. Yep.
Bradley Keith. It's my name.
Feet. Dave Moten.
Man.
I was going to talk about, are you still going to talk about Electoral College? I came across gerrymandering. Jason knows what gerrymandering is. Other than a cool word.
Let's get into that after we take a break. I don't know. Math. Is it break time?
Yeah, we'll
I think
do a
it's
break.
About based off
right.
of
that. Yeah. Yeah, we got a new schedule and we're freaking out over here. And Skype, cables everywhere. I've got a cable wrapped around my neck right
Cats
now.
Cats and dogs living together. So, yeah, mass hysteria.
It's crazy. So this is Sofa King Podcast and we'll be back after this. Maybe. Maybe not. right, welcome back to the Sofa King podcast, and you're listening to us not live, but on a podcast.
Yes. So we just blew your mind.
Yeah, and yeah, we were right before the break, we were talking about gerrymungling.
Yes, gerrymungling. It doesn't matter what you say, because gerrymandering is already a really weird term. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
So Jerry sandwiching.
So the political term, Jerry Maguire, what does it mean?
It's drawing district lines to incorporate specific groups or peoples to influence the outcome of district votes. So every time a new official gets elected for that area, they get to redraw the lines, which seems like completely rigging the vote. It's super crazy.
Like, I got elected, so we're going to make all these people here.
That's
like,
why the districts, when you look at it, it looks like Puff the Magic Dragon, and it's all weird, and like there's just some elongated, super skinny, 2 mile wide, 100 mile line, like all that weird stuff that happens is so that they can like cut out a race or cut out just the Republicans or Democrats.
You cut out like a crappy area of like the county
or income somewhere, like, yeah, they can right, like, to make it. And there was a really cool illustration where they just showed like Democrat Republican as like red and blue, and then they showed how this pattern could be configured. No matter how you put the pattern, you could cut the line to make sure that it did what you wanted it to do.
Oh wow.
So it doesn't seem right.
So the point of politics is that you, as the elected politician,
are a liar,
is supposed to represent the constituents who elected you in whatever capacity you can. That's the theoretical right. point of what you're doing. But as soon as you get elected, when you can redefine what your very constituents are, that really kind of changes the game.
Yeah, my definition of a politician is there. So if I want to be a politician, I lie to everybody to get them to give me their vote, and then I just do what I want once I'm in office.
Yes.
I know Jason has a point to make, but I just have to ask, why do you think we don't use popular vote? Like, why does the electoral thing happen? It's for efficiency?
No, because they think we're stupid. Fairness.
It's just to skew the vote? Because why would you just not do the popular vote? I don't understand. Why? Why not?
Because they think it's a bad decision. They think it's a bad decision.
You had to count the votes to decide if the representative was going to make the vote. They're already counted. Why would you not use it? You have the numbers.
I mean, the Electoral College was originally there as a bridge between the idea of just having the Senate be the ones who vote for president and having the citizens be the ones who vote for president. So the founding fathers struck a compromise, which was the Electoral College. So it's you vote and then your elector casts a vote in theory on your behalf.
Yeah, in theory. And it's easier to control four representatives.
Right.
You know, you could totally say like, and hey, I mean, if you want to do this next year, it'd be good for your career.
Like I said, all things considered, you have a 93% chance. I mean, looking at all the other elections, 93% of the elections, the Electoral College did its job properly. And in 7%, it didn't. But I don't know if 7% isn't acceptable. Jason, what did you have to say?
Well, in addition to the whole gerrymandering thing, there are other ways that states and counties try to limit people's opportunity to vote or just straight up restrict it. You've got things like the voter ID laws that try to get passed everywhere. And I think it's been passed in a few states. You've got things like we talked about earlier in Florida during the 2000 elections. Right before that, there were some laws passed where people with felonies, I believe, couldn't vote.
Right.
And they said traditionally those people probably would have voted Democrat, which means that kind of skewed it more towards Bush, which we all know what happened in Florida in the 2000 elections. There are laws that apparently were tried to be passed in Texas that would restrict women's right to vote through this convoluted process of last names, marriage certificates, and all that. That was struck down, apparently. And it's, as you know, a lot of women traditionally tend to vote Democrat. So in a Republican state, it potentially just another
stop
way
voting.
To
yeah.
I mean, other things. There's, I mean, all the way down to the fact, and there's, I can't recall off the top of my head. There was an HBO documentary that they did on it, and these two women got offended at how all the votes happened after the Bush presidency. So they went and did this just investigation with some cameras on, and they put this thing together. I know it's on HBO Go and all that stuff, but they started to investigate the Diebold company, which is the one who makes the voting machines and the voting computers. And they were just, they found that people, you know, could hack the voting machine because you would get a voter card and then you slip your card in and it's an electronic card and you could put a virus on the card to, so, cause then they're going to go wipe the card so the next voter gets it, but your virus is already on there, so it could start falsely voting for people.
Right.
But the other thing is the machines themselves were just flat out generating false votes.
Yeah.
And it's a computerized machine. It wasn't like a punch card that went bad. They were finding ones where you would put in your card, you would vote for candidate A, hit submit, and when you looked at the computer record, candidate B got a vote cast.
Yeah, I heard that there was numerous things that like you would... And some people caught it. They would hit like candidate A and it would flip to candidate B.
Right.
And then hit candidate A again and it'd flip again. And they had to hit it numerous times for it to stay
and
to get their vote in.
Guess what family happens to be close personal friends to the Bush family?
I was going
to
bring that up.
Yeah. The Diebold family. Like, wow. What? That's odd.
I think like Jeb Bush actually had something to do like with employment there or something. Involvement.
Huh.
Yeah. So the whole thing is rigged. And cracked.
Yeah, I don't know. I think those I think once you start getting into the voting machines make it more efficient, obviously, when you have millions of people voting. But then again, you start getting into this, you know, do you trust the software developer? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like that. Right. That's where, you know, who paid them the most? You know what I mean? Like, are they receiving any money? Of course.
All software can be hacked.
Yep.
I mean, it's kind of hard to hack the piece of paper that I stuck in a machine, turned a lever, and it punched holes on the proper people.
But
that's hard to hack.
Because
I look at my card.
Yeah.
It's really hard to count, but whatever. Yeah. like welcome to democracy. It's not that hard to count. You know, I mean,
instead of jury duty, we should have ballot counters.
Ooh, yeah.
Or called.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You get called to count ballots. That would be rough.
I think the military should do it. Well, they're just on their downtime. What do you think, Jason?
Yeah, we don't have anything else.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, you're on your down. Cool. You're at home right now. You can be counting votes. Yeah. Still from 2008.
Yeah.
Put those freeloaders to work, Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But I know that there's an issue with the system, and I think it comes from confusion. I think that's one of the biggest things that I hate about politics is that everything is developed to confuse you. Everybody's lying. Everybody's, you know, trying to portray this certain person that wants you to vote for them. It never turns out how you want it. You can't read the bills. I follow a lot of bills on gun laws and stuff, and they are absolutely ridiculous to go through and read. Like, you just can't understand
them.
No, they're
very difficult to read, and then even... I mean, most people aren't going to take the time to read it. They're just going to listen to what the politicians have to say.
Yep.
And then this gets into a major problem, which gets into campaign funding, which is the fact that whoever has the most money has the loudest voice and is going to be the one who's heard. Whether they're telling the truth, whether they're lying, their message is going to break through.
Yep.
And you've
Trump,
got these.
Trump is a very good example.
Yeah,
Not that it's good or bad, but he has the money to go out there and just get his message out everywhere, and he's on the front page of everything.
And his claim is that he's already rich. He doesn't need any money, so he won't have special interest.
Yeah, and I think we still haven't really seen the full impact of the Supreme Court ruling and the whole super political action committees, the super PACs and all that. We've only seen one election cycle with those legal.
Well, with those, though, because I did look into that. So Citizens United was in 2008, and it was the ruling that the Supreme Court made that political organizations, unions, and corporations no longer have a cap on how much money they can donate to advertising and media budgets for political campaigns. And there used to be a limit. So from the years 1990 up until 2006, there was an average of about $2 million a year being spent by all the corporations because they had caps. Once that happened in 2008, in 2008, $38 million were spent by corporations on political ads for one presidential campaign. And in 2012, it went up to $90
million. Good Lord.
Because they can just buy airtime. So it's like if you want your guy to be elected and you're Corporation X, then you go drop $20 million on advertising that just talks smack. And they don't, at the end, those commercials don't have to say, I'm Dave Moton, I approve that message. Like, it can be the most slanderous, hateful, whatever, and it's just this other group is the one putting it out there, you know?
I think they must really be missing the boat on, like, social network campaigning, though, because I don't have cable, And I haven't seen anything other than like me going out to look for a video. Like they don't throw like campaign advertisements in the middle of your YouTube video like they do a Toyota or a Tide commercial.
Don't give them ideas. Well,
that's one thing that Obama did do. Obama really took to the social media in 2008, especially, and that's a lot of people credit that to his.
Why didn't people run with that? Like that's such a good tactic.
Trump's following suit though. I mean, he's all over Twitter. He's all over the internet. Like that's a huge thing that he's doing. Is just everything is online. That's why even those viral videos like the Trump China video, like that just gives him promotion, and you know what I mean? People are just really just on it and putting him out there.
It makes me think that people
Did you guys see when Trump was on SNL what was it, a week ago?
No.
Yeah, well, they did a skit where he was live tweeting a skit that was going on SNL, and it's so close to the truth because the guy is on Twitter all day long.
Yeah.
If you follow Trump on Twitter, he's posting every couple of minutes.
Wow, yeah, so it's crazy.
How's he getting anything done staring down at his smartphone?
Yeah, he's getting votes, I guess.
Is he an Apple man or an Android man, I wonder? Can you see his
phone? Honestly, he's probably just paying somebody else to tweet.
No, that's exactly what he's doing. Yeah. I'm sure some of those are his, and otherwise he's got some guy who sits there doing it for him.
He's just walking around with a guy following with a smartphone. He's like, I got a good one. Write that down.
Say this. Zing.
Tweet it. He's like, hurry, tweet it. You're fired.
Yeah. Hey, you like my hair, Obama. Yours is gray now. Zing. Whatever.
Yeah, that is the one thing I can promise you that if he got elected president, his hair would look exactly the same when he left presidency.
Yeah. That's true.
Which is not the case with any other president.
No. Obama is the grayest now. It's crazy.
I mean, it'll be like after a nuclear war, you'll go to like the burnt out Trump Tower and you'll find his hair sitting on a throne of beds and cheap suits.
Wow. You know? That's funny.
Yeah.
He's going to have his hair preserved.
It already is.
Yeah. It's like, man. I wonder how much Aquanet he uses.
I don't think it's
like
that,
to get
man.
It stiff.
I don't know what it is.
It's alien ooze. I don't understand it.
Alien ooze. Egg whites? I don't know.
Who's going to win, Jason?
Oh, I'm sure it's going to be Bush versus Clinton in the general election. I'm sure.
Yep. You think so?
It's the Illuminati versus the Freemasons.
Yeah. No, good point. What about where does what's her name?
I thought they're on the same team.
Hillary Clinton.
They are. Deep down, they all are.
Yeah.
That's what I wonder. That's what makes me think maybe voting does count sometimes, because I'm like, the election cap thing or the campaign caps, like, how did they not just vote that in a long time ago? If it was so rigged, why wouldn't they be like, hey, let's just not put a cap on this. Let's get more money. Like, why would they not? If they're all on the same team and evil and conniving.
I don't think that they are, though. They meet up and they're I think that they all want – I don't think anybody that high up could be on the same team. I think that there has to be some disagreements. There's probably a split. If there's the Illuminati and the Freemasons and whoever else is out there, there's so many different secret groups that we talked about, and they all couldn't be on the same page.
You know what I want to see
about everything?
A candidate with a beard and a mustache. That doesn't happen. There was a guy with a sweet, twisty hipster mustache. He would win.
I wouldn't vote for that guy.
He looks shit. You can't trust him. He's got a mustache.
No, but
Hitler had a mustache, one.
We talked about this though in one of the other episodes that people with a beard look shady, so they won't vote for people. Like it was tested.
Really?
Yeah. Didn't we talk about that?
No, I don't remember talking about that.
I know there's like the blue tie, red tie. There's all kinds of crazy research on that type of thing.
Yeah, the facial hair makes you look dishonest for whatever reason. I don't know why. That's why Dave was always dishonest.
It's the fecal matter.
This has all come about after the advent of the TV. Because we had crippled guys who were president.
People in wheelchairs, and they would all get to be president. Yeah.
They say that's what won Kennedy the election, that there was the first debate that was on TV was like Kennedy-Nixon or something, and Nixon was tired and looked old, and Kennedy was young, charismatic, and handsome, and looked vibrant, and that changed the polls. Because before that, Nixon was leading, but as soon as they saw him on TV, he got the Hollywood effect, and he took it.
That's crazy.
But Nixon found a way around that, his second go-around.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah. I think. Yeah.
The grassy knoll law?
Was he a president, Nixon?
Yeah.
I know.
I thought that was a brand of watches. Yeah.
No, those are Nikons. Nikes cons.
One thing that I saw on politics, and I had seen this a while ago, and then I just rewatched it. Actually, Terry McGee posted it on our Facebook page. But it's a video from a group called Represent Us, and it talks about a Princeton study that was done. It's a little animated video, and they're looking at how much the American people have to save versus the impact it has in like political action. And they found in their study that there's a 30% chance that any idea will pass or not pass. And it's kind of a weird way to look at the statistics, but basically there was no difference between an event that 0% of the population supported or an event that 100% of the population supported. Roughly 30% of all ideas pass no matter what. And if you look at all these ideas, but if you take the wealthy and you plot them on the graph, then you happen to like the wealthy. If 80% of the wealthy want a law to pass, the law is 80% likely to pass. And if only 5% of them want it to pass, it's only a 5% chance to pass. But if common America wants it, there's no change in what Senate or Congress does. But you can see the laws fluctuate based on the whim of the
wealthy.
Of the wealthy.
Yeah, because they could throw money at it.
Exactly. And the quote from the article from the Princeton thing said is, quote, "The preference of the average American appear to have only minuscule, near zero, statistically null impact on affecting government policy."
Well, that's because like people like us, we're like, oh, well, you know, we have these strong point of views, but then they're like, well, did you go vote? Well, no, I didn't vote. You know what I mean? Like that is the majority.
Well, no, I don't think
now.
That's it at all. I think the fact of the matter is whether I vote or not doesn't matter. I don't have, you know, $16 million to spend on ad campaigns to convince millions of people to vote in my favor. I mean, we get into, I'm not talking about like your rich uncle. I'm talking about the wealthy, you know, the people. I mean, wealthy people. Yeah.
White rich.
Yeah.
And, you know, playing devil's advocate a little bit here too. If I was paying as much as the top 1% pays in tax dollars as far as like tax revenue for the country goes, I'd want to have a bigger say as well.
So these
guys pay so much more in taxes than the rest of us, billions of dollars.
Going off Andrew Stevens' comment saying that the if you're poor you shouldn't be able to vote, and then if you're rich you should get more of a
sounds
say.
Like it well under
I mean time. I mean yeah I mean it, it's kind of and I see the point, you know what I mean, like I'm just an average, you know, tax-paying person. But I, you know, I guess you kind of feel like, you know, like these other people walking around Walmart in their pajamas, you know, shouldn't be able to vote the same as you.
I don't feel like that. I think everyone should be able to vote.
That's because you walk around Walmart in your pajamas.
Well, that was one time and someone had a camera. Like, I don't understand. I'm never going to live that down. And it wasn't Hello Kitty. It was G.I. Joe pants. And everybody keeps saying that.
Well, and that's one of the things I talked about, or not talked about, but I wanted to mention, but we're going to run out of time, is I read an article on America actually falling apart.
You pronounced that America, just so you know. Go ahead.
America falling apart by 2025. So maybe we can get into that on another episode of the podcast. This is kind of, we'll have to finish up. We got our outro music on.
Jason made scrunchy face in the comment, just so you know.
Yeah, something I read. I didn't say that it was my belief, but 2025 like could be the end of America.
YouTube doomsday.
Yeah. So Jason, spit out your Twitter and all that good stuff. Website.
Follow me on Twitter at Roskam76 and go listen to Project VCR and Higher Standards. All right. iTunes.
And this is the Sofa King podcast. And whatever we didn't talk about, we're done talking about now. So you can find us at sofakingpodcast.com. I'd like to thank Jason Roskam for being a guest. And stay tuned for the next episode. That's it. Don't be a retard.